Against Geelong, they said it was a one-off. Against Richmond, they said it was obvious. Against Port, well, what are they going to say now? Let's break it down today on episode 9 of Saints or Sinners. Saints or Sinners, episode 9. If you follow the Saints, love the AFL, trivia and a bit of banter, well, kick back and relax and let's talk Saints footy. On today's episode, St Kilda vs Port Adelaide. The Saints are 3 in a row and break their Port Adelaide drought. Fan mail from our Instagram DMs, which by the way is at Saints or Sinners Pod. The DMs were flooding through today from our Saints faithful. Coach Proc is back with his Lion Cage segment where he breaks down Ross Lyon's game plan, which was a masterclass today. Our Saint or Sinner of the round, hopefully a lot of Saints today and a great performance. Sliding doors with yours where we look back and reflect on what could have been. Our GT pressure rating where we put players or departments under the microscope. And of course, every time you hear the siren sound, that is when we ask you at home a St Kilda related trivia question. Play along, have some fun, and if you're having a good time and want to hear us weekly, we'd love if you could hit that follow button on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. And if you're feeling generous, feel free to leave us a 5-star review as well. It helps push us up the rankings. Now, a footy podcast is nothing without a panel, and we have a good mix of talent here for you today. So can we please cue the music? Joining us today, firstly, a man who has spent 35 plus years of watching St Kilda games, which equates to over 700 games of watching the Saints. He has also been the head chef of numerous 5-star restaurants across Melbourne, Sydney and Sri Lanka. Also now working at the MCG in the premium dining section, it is our chef Yoz.
Oh, thank you. 3 in a row, baby. That was an amazing win. We're up and about. The fans are up and about out in Moorabbin. Even the weather's looking a bit shady, but it was a great afternoon, wasn't it?
It's our former AFL Athletes Development Coach, a former VFL head coach and current coach of the North Ballarat Football Club, married to a St Kilda wife and her family, keeping it real for us one-eyed Saints fans. It's the one and only Coach Proc.
Hey lads, how's it going? Everyone well? What a great day for the Saints. Of course, I parked myself at Whitmuir Street with the family, sat back and watched the Saints, and normally it's, you know, to be honest, half sad times. Mum Rona said that the umpires are still shit ass.
Missing today from the podcast is our fantasy fanatic Trenner. He is doing off duties for the AFL himself, so we'll be carrying through the trivia and the agenda. I'm hosting today, Jules Bolt, the former host of AFL Bites on the Footy Live app, looking to bring you some stats insights whilst talking about the amazing young Saints that we saw today. All right, enough of the intro. Let's just get straight into the action. For those of you who didn't get a chance to watch this match today, Saints v Port, in quarter one, as Yoz mentioned, the Saints were off to a cracking start, booting 6 goals in the first quarter. The pressure rating was off the charts, over 217, as the Saints stunned the Port crowd with a 40-16 point lead. In quarter two, Port started to take the game on and looked to play on at every opportunity, narrowing the gap before the Saints responded late with 3 goals straight. Higgins was damaging again with his snaps again, and the Saints' tackling pressure was still switched on. In quarter three, the power started to dominate around the ground. Jason Horne-Francis and Mitch Georgiades were dominant up forward, and the Saints looked a little nervy. The Saints heading into the last quarter up 74-58. In the final quarter, Port narrowed the gap to within a goal or so. The Saints were battling and battling before Sinclair belted a goal just inside 50, which was then followed by a Lance Collard contested mark and late goal to seal the game. Some notable moments was a huge tackle by Stocker setting the tone for the Saints' pressure all game. Smooth Nasaya Wangani Malira was at the front of everything. From the back line, he set up numerous plays for the Saints, whilst Collard shined again with pressure snaps. And let's not forget about Jack Higgins, another 3 goals. The final score was 89-72. Boys, let's talk Saints footy.
Since Jules brought up 09, 010 era back then, what do we love about those teams? We know what we get. And what was Ross's mantra? Any time, any team, anywhere. And that's what we got today. I was talking to Clint before. I mean, say you look at the midfield, all Australian midfield, Port rolled up with Horne-Francis, Connor Rozee, Zach Butters is back, Ollie Wines is there. And what did we front up? We front up with Jack McRae, who's having a great season, Marcus Windhager, Hugo Garcia, and whoever's rolling through in that other option.
Fancy.
And mate, and we matched them. And that first quarter, they didn't want a part of it. Our pressure was up, and we talked about that first round. Pressure wasn't there at all. So they've fixed that. That was the exact opposite. The pressure was there. Port Adelaide were fumbly. They missed marks. And like I said, they didn't want a piece of the Saints at that time. And like, we didn't have the big forwards there to take the marks, but the small forwards, Owens as that mid forward, was competitive. And Higgins was continuing his great seasons. What I liked about Higgins' game as well, He pushed up the ground. He was intercepting. Because you know when he gets in his skates and goes back, he's going to finish. So I like that effort as well. He's competitive higher up the ground, and he was good in the air. And it was like, I'm a blue-collar guy, and I loved a blue-collar win. If you follow a bit of the NBA back in the day, it was the old Memphis grit and grind. They didn't have superstars. We didn't have many superstars today. But they brought their hard hat, they brought their lunch pail, all those cliches. They rolled up their sleeves. The tackle pressure was great. And, like, that first quarter set up the match, so it was great to watch.
Well said, Proc.
Yeah, great point. Yeah, I mean, just, yeah, fully, like, the one thing, and I mentioned it in my, you know, report last week, you know, with this match was about the pressure, right? They had to have that sort of chip on their shoulder and that presence about them, the Saints, to collectively just buy in and get that pressure rating up. And it was clear and really evident that they came to play. And it's funny, isn't it? Even in the AFL, like, it's so important mentally to be switched on and be able to do that. And Port, for what it's worth, Port, like, I know we did the numbers on them last week, and the Saints matched up really well with the way that they had such high handball team, a 190 average handball. They still had 150 this week. But that's a really great effort from the Saints to, you know, keep that pressure on, keep them handballing, and then turn it over. Their marks were only at about 70 or 80 in this match. They normally average over 100 when they win. So clearly they restricted their, you know, I guess, ability to control the game and get it on their own terms. Given that it did open up a little bit later, but, you know, you've got such a young team, there's going to be fluctuations in form and momentum in the match. But, yeah, full credit to the Saints. They just continue to work together as a team. Comprehensive in the way they defend the ground as well, and super effort. And yeah, I mean, I'll come back to the Lions cage in a couple areas where I feel like that, you know, they really got on top, especially in the coach's box.
Yeah, just on that, just listen to Ross after in his presser after the win. He brought it up straight away, almost immediately. You know, look at the team that won today. We got Isaac Keeler 3 games, Angus Hasty, who was a sub 8 games, Lance Collard 6 games, Toby Trevallier 2nd game, Maxi Hall 4 games. Wilson, obviously, who's turning into a star, he's 26 games, but in his second season. Hugo Garcia, who's now, Castile's out, is straight into the midfield, 13 games. And to withstand that pressure and then still, it would have been easy to turn your toes up at the end and say, oh, man, we've played well, we haven't been poor, we're away from home, we've put up a good show, they're going to overrun us and they go. But no, we'll talk a bit later the moments where we did change the momentum and guys stood up. Which I was thinking at the time, I'll admit, I go, mate, Horn France is starting to turn it up. He's clunking marks up forward. Who's going to be the man for us? And we did have a new 3 or 4 parts of the game towards the end where people did stand up, and I guess that's the growth of the team.
Siren sound, that means we pause the podcast to ask our audience at home a St Kilda-related trivia question. We don't have St Trainer today with the cryptic who am I, so we're back to just our general Saints knowledge. We'll give the fans at home a chance to answer this one. For those of you watching the game today, very simple one to start the game if you were watching. Who kicked the first goal for the Saints?
I'm not giving the chance to answer.
No, that's right. We're giving them a chance to answer. It was Mitch Owens.
Mitch.
So he actually had a free kick, which Rusciuto didn't agree with.
Lined of course up. He didn't.
He was a bit soft, that one.
Though, I saw the jersey being tugged there. Oh, yeah. He was lined up, missed it to the left, and then he had a snap. Actually, kicked the harder one. We said this about Mitch Owens. He kicks difficult ones. So, yeah, he started off the game for the Saints. Looking at the numbers against Port, well, as Rusciuto alluded to, Port won the disposals, the handballs. They had more inside 50s, a higher disposal efficiency. They dominated us in the hitouts, 47-20. They won the uncontested possessions 203. But the Saints, way more efficient inside 50. We had 57% compared to their 44%. And we won the clearances 41-32. A large majority of those being stoppage clearances, which was 29-19. So Port dominated the numbers. But if you watched the game, you would probably agree the Saints were the better side. And that's my bias included. But
no, I agree.
Yeah, overall, we put on the pressure. We executed when it counted. And I guess it was good now because that's 2 times that we've been tested this year. Firstly, with Geelong coming back within, 5 points or so, and now Port Adelaide, I think it was 72-77 at one point, and we responded. And it just seems like we're watching a different team from the preseason game against Port and the round one game that we saw against Adelaide. And within the space of 3 or 4 weeks, we're looking at a completely new style of football, which is very exciting to watch.
No, I think it's exciting because I think all us, after that round one, we were looking at doomsday scenarios. Like,
yeah, that's right.
The kids aren't that good.
Yeah.
Right, they're older guys. Like, we've wasted a few draft picks traded out on these guys. We haven't got that much elite talent. The midfield's looking a bit boring. But how quickly it turns, and like simple things on the back of effort, isn't it? And then you suddenly see, oh man, well, young kids are holding up all right. But that's coming from the senior players, obviously, throughout the game doing their role, because like you, the young guys are going to perform 100% during the game. But I think like that big inclusion of having Almonds up front has changed the forward line a bit. He's given that, well, it isn't the height, he gives a contest, and that's helped them a lot.
Absolutely.
It is a catch 22 how quickly it changes, because we know as well as all fans, as Saints fans, how quickly a good lead can turn and we can go on to lose the next five or six games. Who knows? But I think the positive out of all of this is that we're starting to see a future for the Saints, which is something that we've been lacking, I guess, for the last few years when we've hit a dead end.
Been selling, but I haven't been biting, but I'm starting to bite.
You know, it's hard not to build into the hype, and you've got the Saints faithful DMing us on Instagram and sending us all these things about book your tickets in September. I'm trying to not get too sucked into it yet, but it's hard not to.
Jesus Christ, come on. Hey, listen. All right. I swear you set me up.
Wait.
I'm coming in. I'm in. Okay. My hands up. Yeah. Port Adelaide are in a succession plan, right? That is a recipe for disaster. They just don't work, unfortunately. So this team is completely out of confidence and out of whack, and they're lacking. It's sad because I really like Ken. I think he's an awesome coach, great mentor. You know, he's really that figurehead, right? But when you've got two in the room, mate, two alphas don't work. It just never does. Like, it just, and you know, this won't end well for them. It really won't. They're on a way down. So my point is, just take it easy.
Yeah,
they're no good.
It's funny you say that, because I looked at the teams on Thursday night when they were confirmed, and I saw that they dropped Soldo, and Travis Boak was an interesting one. And I think when you start to make changes like that, that's where things start to become a bit of a worry culture-wise. And yeah, their midfield was stacked still with Butters, Horn Francis and Rosie, but... Again, look at the effort from Garcia and McRae. I still think he's so underrated, even though he's getting hyped up now. His little handballs to get it out in the tight spaces and set up people in favourable positions is just beautiful to watch.
No, I'd agree. Like, McRae, obviously we knew he was a good player, but you don't watch him that closely because he's playing with the Bulldogs, mate. But
he's unbelievable.
In that box, in the pack.
He's actually surprised me. Like, obviously I'm not a Bulldog supporter, but you know he's a good player, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm watching the Saints, as we do with the pod, he's been incredible. What were they thinking, the Bulldogs, giving him up? Like, obviously, they've went past him and they want to bring Richards in and some speed, and they're like, their evolution of their midfield is like, okay, we've got to go past this guy. But he has changed the dynamic now of the Saints. They look way better than years gone by. You were one of the worst clearance teams in the comp. Now you're winning them by +9, even losing hitouts by 20. So, and it's on back of him.
Absolutely. He had 8 clearances today, so he's done it again. And anyway, one of our Saints faithful alluded to this in our DMs. He actually said it's nice to see the number 6 hit targets in the forward 50, which is a bit of a swipe at Seb Ross. But at the same time, it actually is true.
Left like, footer?
A lot of people talk about McRae's inside work, but he's actually got that rocket left foot on him that Nick Rewat would be proud of.
Him and Naziah would be close, you know, to being F winners at this
absolutely.
Stage.
Absolutely. McRae would be leading, but Naz has put in some great performances. Yeah. Just on that, so McRae had 8 clearances, Garcia 7, and Windhager 6. In the preseason game against Port Adelaide, they had 343 uncontested possessions. But today, I said 203, and they did win the disposal count, but I think we kept them to around, under 350 or so, not the blowout of 400 plus.
Don't forget, they're averaging 400, right? They're a high possession team. So,
absolutely.
And I'll talk about that in a minute in the Lions cage, but Ross would have set up really well for that, really good.
Well, I think, even when they had that patch, like in the first quarter, we dominated, but when they second and third quarters, even when they were on top, they didn't like really roll us for like a 5 or 6 goal quarter. And so I thought the defense held up really well, which is quite interesting as well, because you've got attacking guys like Naz and Sinclair with the ability to go forward. So I thought the guys who don't get much play with us at the moment, Wilkie was, he got scored a few goals, which is rare, but I thought Caminiti continues to grow. He has his couple of Calaminiti moments during the match. But for a third game tall defender, he did a good job on Jordi Wadis. Webster was his usual self. So I thought they held up pretty well in those times. Like, and at the end of the second quarter or third quarter, when you looked at it, they've scored us by one goal.
Brock, anything on Caminiti? You talked about him last week as your saint of the round.
I love him.
I think we were watching. Yeah, well, it's good. What does he have to learn as a defender about... I guess it seemed like he was caught a little bit behind players, and Georgiades had a few marks on the lead where Caminiti was. It didn't look like it was sleeping.
No, he gave. Delayed. Yeah, so basically, what like, you got to put your work into them early, do your bumpers, but then the forwards always will try and do a figure eight. They'll come back, get some separation, come together, and then take that pocket of space. So he just has to be physical and then just own the dangerous space. So he just tailed him at times, like followed him, just man on man. And then as soon as you come into a pair, you can't defend it. Like, he just takes that space. And that's when Georgiades marked a couple of them just in the pocket there. So he just has to sort of let him go into the junk, wait for him to cover the dangerous space, and then wait for him to come through, and then you can at least own the dangerous space in itself and what they call owning the outside. He just missed that a few times, but they'll show him that in review and he'll improve. He'll be right.
How well have you been following, or how closely have you been following the Saints' disposal winners this season? Five players for the Saints are averaging 20-plus disposals in 2025. Can we name them?
Yeah, let's go.
This year?
This one very obvious.
McRae?
He's probably averaging 30.
I'll go Nziah.
Yep. Correct, that's two out of five.
Sinclair.
Sinclair's up there, that's three. We've got two more.
Were they playing this week?
No.
Yeah, okay. They weren't playing this week.
One of them wasn't playing.
Jack Steele.
Yeah, so he snuck in there with a two-game average of around 20-21. And there's one more who sneaks in there.
He's not playing now. It's not Darcy Wilson. He's not averaging 20.
I think he's just around there. I think he's 19. Oh. There is one who is in that midfield as a... For those of you playing at home, he's a bit of a lockdown midfielder.
Windhager.
Windhager's just snuck in there with just about 20.65, I believe. I think he had 18 Windhager. Or so today. So, yeah, Indy. Saints, ball winners, 20-plus this season. Sinclair and Nziah both had 20-plus kicks today. You were talking a bit about the halfbacks before. Is it possible for a team to have two halfbacks in the All-Australian team? Well, that's what they're saying at the moment.
They're going to be in the top 40. They're going to be in the top 40 for sure. Naz, whatever you say about, like, sometimes you can bite off a bit too much, but that's the type of play we need, you know? And, like, I thought, like, in that fourth quarter, he was a guy that took the game on. Like, I remember that one where he gave it, he got it, he gave it and got it again. Then he got cleaned up by Powell Pepper on the wing.
Yep.
And, like, well, it looked pretty bad. But I thought, mate, that's exactly the type of run we needed, because we were just stagnant. It was just port wall all over us. And anything we're doing is kicking long down the line. It was just a wall of Alia and Radigalia there. So he's the one again who stood up in that moment and said, I need to do something to change that. And Clinton and I were talking about he's a controversial. I think Roo apparently was one of the shocking kick, miss kick or whatever. But it was a genuine short kick to Sinclair that set up that fantastic finish. But what would have been the easier thing? Kick it down the line into the pocket, get it knocked out of bounds, try and box it up there again. But he's the one that said, no, I need to look inside it and see what I can do to win the game.
Yeah, I mentioned that to yours before. So that's great game awareness. He knew they needed one more goal. If you kick down the line, Port had the momentum, they're going to come again. Like, I thought it was that was your match-winning moment. When he had the courage to – he tried to sell the candy, it didn't work. He got corralled in, and then he's like, no, I'll just take it to Sinclair. And then Sinclair, of course, you know, he's got to hit that and put it through. That was just – pure class from those two, and then they were a class above everyone else.
Listen to that roar.
The roar.
What have you got for us, Coach Mate, Clock, on Lyon's game plan?
Ross Lyon, genius plan this week. Like, wow. Again, he's really strutting the stuff, isn't he, Ross? He's coaching really well at the moment. Like, they've clearly been outnumbered and you know, suggested that with Port averaging over 400 possessions. All the numbers suggest that they had everything advanced. Like, if you just simply go through it, you know, 346 possessions, 194 kicks, all the way through inside 50s. You know, I think they had 14-plus in the end. The only one where he got on top, and this is a full credit to the midfield, is the stoppages itself. And clearly they were able to get some really good chains out of there and score. But defensively is where the Saints were amazing. First, the pressure. So, you know, they call it the D1. Once the ball spills on the ground, especially in the front half, their ability to get at it and press them down and then get that junk kick down the line and turn it over with Wilkie marking it, handballing it to Naz, and away they go, slingshot it back in. That was really clear, especially early in the match, you'd say. Their pressure was really good. Their work from stoppages even better. But later in the game, I just thought that the wingers played a really crucial role here, especially the offside winger, the red winger they call it. Like, their ability to get back and create an extra number allowed that skinny side press to take its place. And that's where it looked really strong for the Saints, because it looked like the defenders like had good pressure from behind from their forwards. They didn't mark everything great until the game opened up later. And I felt like that offside winger got back to help. I think it was like Burns and those, you know, Ross favourites, Jones and those types, right? But clearly they just work so, they run the ground so well, and they were able to free up Wilkie and get those intercept marks. And then you see Sinclair and Wangan and Malira really coming off the chains and building the ball up. And I just thought it was a real class effort in that defence side of thing from that offside winger. And that all comes from the high forwards as well. So although Hall didn't have a huge game, I thought his impact along with, I think it was Owens, and I reckon it was Higgins even at times, like you said, Yoss. Yep. They were getting up, they were in that help side position, so that's where the forward connects to the winger, and the winger has a relationship with the backline player, and they work all together as one, and they're like in flow in that offside. That's where it was really important for the Saints, because they won the ball back in transition and popped it back out. Now, obviously, they didn't get it inside 50 as much as Port, but they had certainly that slingshot and fast ball movement play, which is, you know, well, let's not say it's uncharacteristic. This is the way the Saints are playing this day and age, right? They're shifting kicks and playing that way. So, yeah, full credit to Ross and the way they've defended the ground and connected well as that team defense.
Trivia question for us listening at home. So our man Jack Higgins kicked 3 goals today. How many goals has he now kicked for the season? So it's been 4 games he's played.
I'd go 13, 14.
He has kicked 12 for the season, averaging 3 goals a game, which I believe is in top 5 for the Coleman medal. So early days, but it's great to see our young man Jack Higgins delivering for his St Kilda.
Me?
We're debating over who starts.
I might take your one. I want to go first all the time. I might take someone's side.
Fair. We do start with yours a lot for the Saint or Sinner.
All right.
Brock, you can lead the way.
All right,
who's your Saint of the round?
Ross Lyon.
Oh,
he's my
Rossi.
Saint.
Okay.
The first time I saw him smile in the box on the TV, he was so happy. It was good. It was really good to see, wasn't it?
I think he was really proud of
it. I reckon, seriously, look at him. He's on the TV now. We're watching it here live. And, yeah, mate, that team is so young, right? And let's just talk about egos with Port. Obviously, they've got a few challenges with, you know, their transition at the moment with the coaches and things, and I think that's really affected them, to be honest. But that's amazing effort. Like, just give full credit to what it is. The numbers are against you. The players are against you, as in talent. And to win like that, that was a huge... And your record away, as you've mentioned, is really poor. So for Ross, as the coach, to get his men up, ready to play and to execute like that, well, he's the saint for me.
I think Sinclair was interviewed after the game. Is that only the second time I've been poured in 11 years?
Yeah, there you go.
Yoz, saint or sinner of the round?
All right, so we give it to the... I'm going to coach as well. I'll give it to the little man next to Ross, Brendan Bolton.
Oh, he's your man, coaches are getting some love.
Yeah. Cops that have been in the media, or Bolts, after his time in Carlton... But, mate, I've seen it last week. Look at that forward line, that one. Collard, Sharman, Higgins, Mason Wood, Owens, Max Hall. And they won, and they kicked 89 points. Yeah. Like, for Saints to kick 89 points in previous years, they'd have to be on the whole game. And this was a game where we had times where we were quiet, where Port dominated. But the game style they're playing with that action off the halfback line, that we wanted to see a better game style, better connection... It seems to be working without having Max King as a focal point. And the good thing is, Collard 1 goal, Sharman 1 goal, Higgin 3 goals, Mason Wood 1 goal, Owen 2 goals, Hall 1 goal. They all kicked a goal. So we go, give credit to both.
For my saint of the round, I was looking through, because I watched the whole game without checking the player stats too much, which is the opposite of what I usually do. But yeah, if I go purely based off watching, I thought Darcy Wilson was my saint of the round. I thought that he looked very composed for someone who had to... got thrown in the deep end a little bit with some pressure handball receives down back. And even though there were times where he sort of bombed it out and it might have got intercepted, I thought that he was basically our saviour many times down back. And obviously he pushed forward and kicked that amazing goal as well. And just a running machine. And I think he just looks like way ahead of his time for someone who's in his second season.
And that finish, when was it? Was it the second quarter, that goal?
He was the first or second quarter after. Oh, it's just beautiful.
Edge of the 50 line, mate. That's class.
I'm glad that he got that handball receive from our man Bradley Hill as well.
Well, I think, like you said, with that game plan, you know, like Clint said, you rely on those wingers like getting up and back, and I thought Hill was doing it. Burnsy, he had a few shit moments.
No, but his run is pretty. I can see why Ross loves him, right? His run and effort and ability to disconnect and put pressure on
him. And what do you see most of the time? He's back covering those halfbacks.
He's all helping him. Yeah.
He improved towards the end. Hill was good. I thought his leadership was really good, actually, Brad Hill, in the last quarter. And also Jones, he had a quiet match, if you look at the stats. But those guys, McRae, Hill and Jones in that last 5 minutes.
All had moments.
Where they were directing the younger guys and showed a lot of leadership. I thought it was good.
Speaking of moments, Yoz, you were calling for Stocker to be back in the side after his huge crunch and tackle in the Geelong game. And then what does he do today? He lays an amazing tackle on, I can't remember which Port Adelaide player it was, but geez, he left him battered and bruised after that tackle.
He's good. He's good, Stocker. He's not the greatest player, but his effort, his intensity is what we need. And what else did he do? He had Horn Francis in the last quarter as well, pretty much.
Love it.
So I thought Ross likes to chuck him around a bit as well.
And just following on from my Saints of the round, I'd love to go Saints of the round and give it to the whole team when they stood up for Windhaker, when Butters came and poked the bear a little bit. And the Saints found, I thought it was good seeing how feisty they were. I love seeing that. When someone, you know, pushes one of your mates up, you need to back him up. And it's good to see a bit of a Saints melee, which we don't see often. Often we just get seen as this little weak team of skinny boys, but to stand up, I thought it was
nice
good.
Nice guys, I think.
We get the final laugh, and it reminded me of those melees that used to happen the day between tracking back all the way back to Richmond and Collingwood. You remember the push-up king, Jake King?
No.
Push-up.
There was this one push-up. I think it was one where he had a little melee with Alan Dydak, and it resulted in a huge... Bring back the biff, I loved it.
Mate, talk about that bloke, the tip. No, call him the tip or the...
Push-up
king. It was a tip.
We had the tip round. I think he was the tip as well, but we had the original tip round.
Mate, I played a game against him.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Yeah, him and Ben Cousins came down there. I was playing for the Dolphins, actually. Here's a story. The story.
Yes, here you go.
And anyway, the Cuz came down and Jake King's playing. And I think, who was the other guy? There was, I don't know. There was like three or four of them. They all, do you remember that time where they all went out during the week and they all got blind drunk and whatever? And then they got dropped. So we had to play against them. So Richmond v. Franks, and obviously...
Oh, this was a week they got dropped.
Oh, yeah, it was... what's his name? I forget his name now. He played at Port Melbourne and a few other bad clubs and that anyway. There was like the three of them, right? Real bad eggs, obviously, Richmond. Do you know the one I'm talking about? I forget his name.
He was a bit of a troubler.
Yeah, he was a real trouble. What's his name? I can't remember.
It's a very plain Jane name. I can't remember.
I'll get it. Anyway, so there's Daniels? Daniel Connors. Daniel Connors. This story will come. So Dan Connors, right, and Ben Cousins and Jake King, they all come down to play us at Frankston. They've been dropped from the senior side because of disciplinary reasons or whatnot. And basically they come down in this huge Hummer. Do you remember when Hummers were
popular? Are you serious?
I remember when Hummers were popular. They came in a Hummer. They had their own escorts, like security, that opened the gates up at the club. No one ever got the car in there except for the coach.
And was this at Punt Road?
This is down at the Frankston's home ground, down at the pit. It was like, anyway, it was a night game. It was packed. There would have been 5,000-10,000 people there. And anyway, so I'm playing on a half forward flanking on the wing. And then, you know, I think I've got the – I can't remember what happened. But anyway, I've got the ball. And obviously I've kicked it. And someone's given me a late bump. And I've gone the old sort of push back. And I didn't know who it was, and I've just given him one like in the chin, and it was Jake King, and he just ripped me, and he's pulled me to the ground. Next minute, he's on top of me, and I thought, I'll just take him and get him off. And I literally went to move, and I couldn't move him. I was pinned, and I was like, this could be it. Because he was just staring at me, and froth coming out of his mouth. He's like, I won't want to swear on here, but he was like, mate, don't you ever. And I was like, and it was like, just, I remember my, wouldn't say my life snipped before my eyes, but it was 5 seconds of just, is he going to get off me? I'm not sure if this is ending here. And then next minute, everything just, you know, erupted because people just decked him and it was all on. And I was stuck at the bottom of ages and I can't remember, but I remember running off just going, all right, don't ever push the push-up king. There's a reason they call him the push-up king. His arms were so strong. It was crazy.
He did have a strong upper body.
Push-up, got that nickname, push-up king, after performing 303 push-ups at a Richmond 2006 training camp. Yeah, 303 push-ups.
So don't even take the push-up on in a fight.
Beautiful. What a story. Trivia time. Which one should we go with? Okay, so as the sub today, Angus Hasty came on. Do our fans at home know what number our man Angus Hasty wears for the Saints? We would have seen it on the back when he took a nice courageous mark in the final quarter.
Is it 24?
Spot on.
Hey!
Got it. 24 Angus Hasty.
Because I remember that mark.
Since we're ahead of the time, I might ask one more. Tracking back actually a little while, all the way back to 13, 15, 16 and 18. Those were the years that a St Kilda player won four times best and fairest. So in 2013, 2015, 2016 and 2018, a four-time St Kilda best and fairest winner, a midfielder for the Saints.
Lenny.
Wasn't Lenny.
Oh, hang on. Jack.
Jack with a mullet, for those at home.
Oh, Jack Stevens.
Jack Stevens.
Oh, of course.
Four Saints best and fairest.
He was such a good player, wasn't he?
I think like, Nick Rewald holds our record at six. Sliding doors!
Tristan Ziri story again, or?
No. That was a good one.
Oh, I know.
Second future round. No, a bit of a different sliding doors. These ones are going to go Sosto, son of Saints, father, son's. We saw our president again SEN having a complaint about clubs getting unfair advantage, which is, I kind of agree, but also I like the romanticism of father-sons. It's unique to our game, and it's just bad luck that the Saints haven't had many father and sons. I think we've had three official father and sons. I'm going to go, one I can't even remember, Stuart Nanand, who didn't play any games. We had, obviously, David Sirikowski, whose father, Brian, played in the 1966 flag. And actually, David Sirikowski is quite a serviceable defender, a bit of a big lump. And he actually played in the 97 losing grand final. So that would have been a nice one. We could have had father and son premiership player. And also, we had Bailey Rice, who did actually a tug of war between Carlton and ourselves for Bailey Rice, because his dad played 100 games for Saints and then for Carlton. But he chose us, but that didn't work out. But it's not that we haven't had Saints players who haven't had kids that have played AFL. It's just the problem that we went through an era in that year where they weren't good enough to play 100 games. And we had so many players coming in and out. So we're watching the Suns start to blossom, and we saw, who is it? Running around, Noah Anderson looks like a very good player. Pick number two after Matty Rowell. His dad, actually, Dean Anderson, played 67 games for the Saints.
Oh, stop it.
He didn't know that.
I did not
He's actually on the board as well at St Kilda.
You're kidding.
He did. So, obviously, he played 83 games for Hawthorn as well, kicked four goals in the 1989 famous grand final as well. He was a good player, actually, but he didn't play 100 games for the Saints. So even though he's on the Saints board, we didn't have access to Noah Anderson. And also, I saw who was running around for them as well, Joel Jeffrey. If you some of the Saints fans remember, Russell Jeffrey, who was a great Northern Territorian footballer, made their team of the century, played actually, I think it would have been about 40 games for the Saints back in the day. Then we got another premiership player at Melbourne, Jake Bowie. I don't know if a lot of Saints fans remember little Brett Bowie. He was a cult figure back in the Saints. Yep. Little good rover forward pocket. Used to clunk a few off the back
Is his son at Melbourne now?
Yeah. Premiership player.
Yeah.
And so we have had players that have father and sons, but just haven't been good enough to play 100 games. So unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out, so that would have been handy additions to the team. But we did see last week all the kids, Rui's kids, Montagna's kids.
That's right, the Rewalt family.
Lenny Hayes' kids. I think Guilty's got a couple of sons as well.
Yeah, the problem is, they'll be no good and you're playing for 6 years.
But I just say, we're busting, but I just want to cool on the father-son restrictions, because when our father-sons come through, we might be paying a premium for them.
Well, since you have tracked back yours, I'm going to track back with one of our trivia questions.
Yes,
this is probably an easy one for loyal Saints fans, but who kicked that famous winning point in St Kilda's one and only premiership in 1966?
No idea.
Really?
Who?
Barry Breen.
Barry Breen.
Barry Breen, so there you go. Thanks for telling me.
So with a good win always comes talking points and stories. Our GT Pressure Rating is our segment where we talk about who's under the microscope, who might have a bit of pressure on them throughout the week. Who are we expecting? Who wants to kick us off for who we think might be feeling the pressure?
I'll kick it off. I had a quick look at the reserve results. Apparently we got rolled by over 100 points by GWS. But we did have some of our first team, I would say regulars, start to get a few touches. I think it was Liam Henry's third VFL match, and he got a 24 posies, kicked a goal. So is it
ready?
Time?
He's ready. Ready? Yeah, he's ready. That's ready. Enough. That's
Rolling
enough.
Back in.
Yep.
And then we had Butler played a good game, and we had the Viking finally make his debut in the VFL. We'll get further information on that. But we're gonna look at a few of the pressure rating on a few of the team on the edges selections. So I'm gonna put the on my favorite. I gotta do it to Bansy. Yeah, I thought he was really poor in the first half. He had a few mistakes. I know he got clunked in the head, and I thought maybe he was having a few effects from that knock. But I think those type of players are gonna come with pressure for selection now that we're starting to get guys like Henry and Butler coming back, and all the other guys are performing well in the forward line. So just, it's hard to do this week because I don't think they did. It was a team effort, but I'll just put that pressure rating on the fringe players.
Brock, anyone under the microscope for you? Or
oh, everyone's going so well.
Yeah.
Like it's hard.
If it ain't broke.
Yeah. No, look, can I put one bloke in twice?
Yeah, absolutely.
Steel, captain.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, he didn't even play.
Yeah, I know. He needs to get right. What's going on there? Like, what's happened?
Well, this is the thing, right?
And what's the word on the street?
Last week. Well, I don't have the inside goss, but I think the thing is when you win two or three big games, well, two of them being without the captain, and you see a great leadership performance from Cal Wilkie, and then the midfielder comes back into the side. Now, if we get rolled by 70, 80 points against the Giants, let's hope that doesn't happen. Pressure goes straight
so
to the
pressure's
captain.
On him, right? Because correct. If he comes back against the Giants, let's be honest, it's going to be hard to beat the Giants. That will happen. Whether he likes it or not. So there's, it's like you're almost better off missing another week, just coming back in when you can win. Or no, I shouldn't say that, but like there's a bit of pressure on him. Like that, and I just, that's the only one I can really think of.
I want him to hand. You're suggesting that he should hand over the captain.
I would. I don't
Oscar
think.
Allen
I don't.
Style.
I don't. Look, I'll just, you know what, I'm on this podcast. I don't think he's a good leader at all. I think Wilkie's unbelievable. You can sense it. You can see it, right? You can see it in his the way they respond to him, the way he sets them up. Mate, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in there and in and out of the club, but I think it'd be good for him. Not, you can't do it now, but whether it's a co-captaincy or he does relieve it and focus on his own game, I'd almost go one step further and I'd... What's he worth as a trade?
Oh, come on.
Why not?
Get him back in the team.
But if he left in free agency, what would he get?
I don't even want to think about it. I just think, still, we need to get him back to his form.
Second round, lucky.
There you go. Anyway, pressure's on him.
that depends on the contract. He's all Australian, so you get it. He's definitely.
Well, either that or he just has to get his body right and just go away and just get it really humming. So when he comes in, he's explosive and powerful because he hasn't been powerful for over a year now, at least, you know. And the midfield now all of a sudden looks like it's dynamic. It's just changed. They haven't even got Sinclair in there, and the kids look way faster and more dynamic in there.
Fair enough.
Like they do. Because he's a bigger lad. He doesn't have that. He's similar to Cripps, like in his movement. He's not fast. He's powerful and evasive, but he's not like explosive, and that's different. And when you have that speed in there, it can be really damaging.
Well, I think everyone may just accept that his best football is past.
Maybe, they'll have to look at it.
He's not an
A. Anyway, so that's a long one.
No, it was a good controversial
one. Good take. I'm going to chuck Isaac Keeler in there, even though I don't want to. But I think with three possessions today being subbed off, only having two hitouts, and some of them being against Ollie Wines, I think with Max King being very close to a return, and fans will find that controversial whether he comes straight back in or not, but I think Keeler's definitely on the chopping block, unfortunately. So the GT pressure rating sadly has to go to our man Isaac Keeler. Fan mail.
Okay, this is live, is it? Okay.
Yeah, fair mail. So we threw out a question saying, give us your thoughts, comments, feedback about the Saints game, and we'll mention in the pod. So we'll start with Joel. He said, will that win get Naz on the dotted line? Jeez, what a win.
Well, I 100% agree with Joel on this, mate. He is a unique talent in the AFL. There's no other player like him. If you're going to pay TDK 1.7, man, best pay this guy 1.5 or whatever. I don't care. That's it.
Love that question. We got one from Kirsta. Oh, wow, funny. Ironic, because we're just talking about this. Wilkie to become captain. Superman was always better on his own. Wilkie for captain.
Look out.
And also an additional question from Kirsta. Red Rooster logo on the new apparel.
What, you want gun buyer?
was true. I was actually mentioning that the new jackets look fantastic, and then you turn around.
We love Red Rooster, man. We can get on board with the sponsors. Jeez.
Oh, big Red Rooster logo on the back of the jackets.
Are they a new sponsor?
No. So I got a pair of Saints shorts with Red Rooster, and I'll happily roll around.
Red Rooster.
Oh, we've got these new awesome jackets in stock, and then you turn around, there's a big, massive Red Rooster logo on the
pretty much sums up the Saints, though, doesn't it? You can't get KFC or Macca's or, you know, even Hungry Jack's, but Red Rooster's like a fifth in line.
They still even open?
You reckon we can't get Hungry Jack's?
Hey, there with West Coast.
That's, mate, there's nothing wrong with Red Rooster. It's a good Australian brand. I'm actually going to have some Red Rooster after this finishes.
We got one from a Saxon here. What year do you think Lance Collard will win his first Brownlow? I love that. Love that from Saxon. Yeah, look, great take. I think he's...
What?
It's hard case for him to not have...
Brownlow?
I think he's over-exaggerating there deliberately.
But he's been really... yeah. I think we were taking the piss of him a bit before he got
We were.
But I can see why he's one of Rossi's favourites, mate. He chases and everything, but he's got that...
He's a bit naughty, isn't he?
He's a bit naughty. Yeah, I like that. Cheeky, but he's got that forward craft. Yeah, mate, talking of big moments in the match today, that goal he kicked at the end, that's a... perfect forward craft.
Great.
That
great was like mark. A 50, good mark. 50 good mark. Ball,
and he really did it from bodywork. I think he looks really slight, but he's actually 187 centimetres, so he's got a bit of height.
Yep.
And he's going to keep Butler out of the side. I don't think Rosh has said that he's not going to change the team that's winning. He's going to reward the guys that have made the effort, you know. So it's a good one.
Great take from one of our followers, Billy. He says, Adelaide, shit commentary. Higgins is our best player. Need Naz to sign. I think everyone's feeling really positive about Jack Higgins at the moment, and we just mentioned earlier about Naz. We need to prioritise his signing. Just get him signed. I know players and coaches are knocking on his door saying, come over to our club. But no, we made him.
He'll sign. He stepped at the center as well. Terry Malira. But also, did he hear he go after? He's a classic. Did he hear him interviewed after the match? He goes, we're going to be in Adelaide. I don't like Adelaide that much. Adelaide's pretty good.
Love the honesty from Higo. We got one from Jesse. This is going to cause a lot of controversy because this is the question that a lot of Saints fans are going to be asking. Do we need Max King?
Yes.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But you need to continue the way you've been playing and move the ball and make sure he can run and jump at it, not put it on his head.
So does he come in for Kilo and then does he become the second rock? Because he's never really done that for us.
Yeah. No, they won't put him in second rock.
I reckon they should though 100%. Get him in the game. It'll help him a bit.
Don't mind it. But I know the coaches, they won't. They won't risk the injury and the getting hit in the body and all that stuff. It's just difficult for a key forward. I agree. Trust me, I know. But trust me, I've interviewed and I just know they won't.
I think Joe Danaher, he's not a different player to Joe, but Joe enjoyed it once he got started, getting pushed up into the ruck a bit.
Fan mail from Beth, who's a very passionate Saints supporter, always commenting a lot of the Saints channel, so great to see the questions come through. Do you think we won Naz's heart back from any ties to South Australia today? Well, I mean, I hope so.
Nah, right? He's going to sign with us a bit.
So he needs to sign this year, right? If he don't, is he out of contract?
Is it this year or?
Yeah, he's out of contract this year.
Oh, geez.
This year, definitely? At the end of this year?
I'm pretty sure.
Right.
And obviously the South Australian team's already talking to him, so yeah.
Oh, God.
No, definitely. That'll be a huge thing for Saints fans if we can get that sign over the line, which we are confident on, right? Without knowing the ins and outs.
No, I'm confident.
Yeah.
As each game goes by, I wouldn't.
No, you're signed.
Well, hang on. There's already been... his contract offer now would be off its head, wouldn't it? Like, he'd be over a million. Easy.
That's why, mate, if he gets, keeps playing like this, he's just going to earn more money. But he's got, they're building a good Indigenous culture.
Yeah, yeah, no, I have no doubt about the Saints, but home is home.
Yeah.
Home is where your family is and people. And anyway, it's something you got to have to come to terms with maybe if it happens.
Mate, I'm happy that they're actually having players that are targeted because it's been a while since we have.
That's right.
But no, you'll sign.
We've got another one from Beth, actually. What do you think it would take to get Rui to mentor Mitchie? So, Mitch Owens. So,
well, it sounds like on TV the other day, he mentors most people.
Really?
Old mate pulled him aside.
Caddy
pulled him aside. Cadman or whatever it was. I can't remember.
What's he doing mentoring them?
Yeah, Caddy from Essendon. Pulled him off screen.
Oh, stop it.
So, yeah, just give him a buzz. He'd be all good.
Come on, Rui. Get him
Owens, a different type of player.
It did it live on TV. Pulled him off.
Yeah, but Owens is a different type of player.
No, but still the same.
I'm sure.
Like type of craft to be a forward. Like.
Yeah. I'm sure Sam wouldn't mind to get Rui in the
Aaron Hamill would be a good one to talk to for him.
He was good. He's
similar type player.
Saints for a while.
Final trivia question. Which St Kilda player won the Norm Smith in the famous drawn grand final against Collingwood? This is Probably an easy one for many Saints fans, but we like to mix up the difficulty of the trivia questions. So who won the Norm Smith in the Saints drawn grand final?
Lenny.
Correct, Lenny. Lenny. I think 99% of Saints fans would have got that question right. We're going to wrap up in the next 5 minutes. Let's quickly preview our game against the Giants. So we're going to stay in Adelaide, but hopefully the Saints boys don't go down to the woolshed anytime soon.
Woolshed.
Coach Brock, what have you got for us on Saints against the Giants?
Well, the great thing is you're playing at a non-AFL ground.
Norwood.
So that's really good, I think, because the conditions might be difficult. Could be windy, could be wet. Like, it's just different in suburban areas, you know?
Hey? So we played there last year. It's pretty narrow.
Yeah. So it's pretty narrow, like, you know. I think that's a really, really important thing to keep in mind, which is actually going to suit the Saints, believe it or not, because... Crazy enough, but this mob, the Giants, are pretty much like Port with their numbers. I couldn't believe it. They average over nearly like 400 nearly 400 possessions a game. Like they're at 390 something, right? Their numbers are through the roof. But at the moment, the profile of the Saints is along with them all the way from, mate, everything. Hit outs, you're all the same. Inside 50s are the same, contested possessions. All the numbers stack up. The Saints are with them. And where you can actually get them is the pressure inside 50. Saints tackles inside 50 around about 15. Giants are quite low. Now, whether that's because they mark the ball more, maybe. But the other point is the Saints' pressure has just been really, really high. As you know, when you win, that's clearly the mantra with the Saints play on. When your pressure's up, you're a chance to win the game. So, yeah, the numbers stack up all right, but obviously then you look at the paper and you're like, well, okay.
That's right. Look at the team list. So,
but just to give you comfort in that, like you're looking at the sheer numbers, the Saints are okay. Like it's every chance, clearances are similar, nothing is too different. There's nothing really alarming in there. The only thing I just put up though is obviously the talent in itself, right? That's clearly what the Saints will have to deal with, and whether the mentality of the young group can get through that. That'll be the biggest challenge because you're just going to rock up and be playing on blokes who are triple all Australians and all that jazz, and you know, have got reputations and been in grand finals all the way through to number one draft picks and whatnot. So that's going to be a challenge.
Four more senior bodies in the selection.
So look, in the end, look, I've just got here, must have, as I always do. Look, wing forward's got to connect, so you need that pressure around the stoppages, which is really important. So I think all the half forwards are going to play a role, especially Hill. I feel like his run will be really important to get back and help, because if the Saints can defend like they have been, they'll turn the ball over. You need to take speed out of this game, and this is going to be hard, but you need to take speed out of this game and find marks, because they're such a high handballing team. They got a lot of marks because they just like the ball. Like they're just good at footy, keep it really basic, and they find the ball and they win the ball and they normally don't turn it over. So once the Saints get it, you've either got to go one gear or the other, gear up or gear down. So we take the game away from them by possessions, building the ball up with marks, and then finding angles and taking it in. Or, we see the opportunity and we go and we just go by hands and we try and score as quick as we can. And then keep the ball in the front half as much as you can. Because if you keep it a front half game and Saints have good pressure inside 50, you can win it. So they're the two things that I would make sure to do. So high forwards got to come up, give a lot of pressure around that circle support. That's just with stoppages. And make sure that the Giants don't chain out of there by hands, because they're so good. You know how they all come out like freaking Callahan whipping and like their hands are everywhere. How do they get that handball out? And they draw the tackle. Like the Saints have just got to 1, 2, 3 and just keep pressing them down and then turn that footy over. And then that's where you make your call. You either go crazy to calm, which is like the ball spills, find a mark, slow the game down, or crazy, or after that, just go bang out of hands and pop out and see if you can score. So, but be clear with one or two gears. That's it.
I think we really need Steele back for this match. I mean, Tom Green back? No,
maybe with Green, but I wouldn't go at him. I'd definitely nullify Whitfield. I'd go him first. I'd put a Maxwell Hall type on him, whatever it is. Maybe probably Maxie don't get all the jobs, but definitely him. That's what the Saints must do, and then they must continue to find other avenues to goal. So that's been really, really important. Their ability to have multiple goal kickers, from whether it's Sinclair, their mids, you know, obviously Higgins and these guys are popping up and kicking their ones or twos, but they need to share that load, because it'll be difficult in a sense to the tools with Taylor and these guys. Like, they're really strong down back, right? You know, the Giants, as we all know, like, they're just so... They're so talented in a sense with their lineup. So, I think if you spread the goal kickers, you have every chance to win it.
That brings us to the end of Saints or Sinners. If you are feeling generous, please feel free to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. Thank you to our panel, Coach Proc, Chef Yoz, and Trenor will get back next week with some fantasy updates. Thank you again to all our loyal supporters on Instagram at Saints or Sinners Pod. To all our Saints faithful and members out there, congrats on another great win. That's 3 in a row. We'll see you next weekend after our game against the Giants. Other than that, we hope you have a fantastic week. Wear your Saints scarf. Proud to work on Monday, and we'll see you all next time on Saints or Sinners.
Go marching in. When the Saints go marching in.
Yes, sir.